Vista Gloria.
Sitting on your big shoulder, eat the wah, eat the Venice, and provoke a lot of the money.
And it's February 10th, 2011. And here's some of the trends this week. Boy, the dates, I always kept getting mixed up on them. Yesterday was today, today is tomorrow. And when you look at the elections that just happened, boy, you wish yesterday was last week, maybe. What a show. The presidential reality show, live, right here in the USA. Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. I guess the dislike for Clinton's is deeper than I anticipated. And as we can see what happened yesterday, she really got trounced. And I think some of it had to do also with what just happened on the campaign trail. Because when you look at the difference between Iowa and New Hampshire, you know, when they were neck and neck, I mean, this was really a runaway. And just in the last couple of days with the statement that former Secretary of State under Bill Clinton, Madeleine Albright, you know, when she was introduced in New Hampshire, she was stumping for Clinton. She told the crowd, quote, "There's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other." And I mean, this is coming from a person probably that knows a bit about hell, Madeleine Albright. Anybody could go on to YouTube and just put in Madeleine Albright, Leslie Stahl, CBS. And if they remember when she was asked by Leslie Stahl, was it worth it? And this is back in 1996. So the Clintons have been murdering people for a long time between Bosnia and, you know, and the Yugoslav War, bombing Iraq on virtually a weekly basis. People forget the no-fly zones. And then the sanctions that Bill Clinton put on Iraq. Remember, this is before Bush 2 launched the war. And she was asked, she said, you know, that over 500,000 children died. And under the age of 5, by the way, this is according to the United Nations, because of lack of medical supplies and necessities, because of Bill Clinton's sanctions on Iraq. And she was asked by Leslie Stahl if it was worth the price. And Albright said, yes, it was worth the price. So she should know a thing about a special place in hell. Because, man, I know, there's one waiting for her and the rest of the murderers. And then the other one, which the backlash happened, was when the feminist icon, Gloria Steinem, claimed that young women were backing Bernie Sanders in order to meet guys. She said, when you're younger, you think, quote, where are the boys? The boys are with Bernie. So that's why all the young women voted for Bernie. Could you imagine if guys ever said this? You know, there's a special place in hell for men who don't help each other. Whew. You could imagine a guy saying that, hey, you know, the reason women voted for Bernie is because, you know, when you're younger, the girls like to go where the guys are. So that's why they're with Bernie. Could you imagine the outrage, the attacks that would happen? So anyway, this turned off a lot of people, apparently. And one woman writing in the Financial Times, in a letter, they quoted her, actually, Sarah Clement. And she wrote, quote, as a woman and mother, I just find it so insulting that there is some sort of push to act as if I don't get feminism because I am voting for a man. I'm not voting for genitalia. I'm voting for my values. So, that's it. And then we have Trump. Trump on the stump. And of course, you know, the between all the Republican candidates, It's, you know, which one could be more of a war hawk? And they're competing with each other. And, of course, Trump, you know, he called Cruz a pussy. He repeated what a woman in the audience said. And but it was just, he said, quote, "I was just repeating what she said so everyone could hear. I was doing everybody a favor. I got a standing ovation, and the place went wild." You're talking about close to 5,000 people. It was a great moment, a great moment. This is what he calls a great moment. The world is politically correct. Well, on the term of the world being politically correct in its own context is an oxymoron. Because when you look at the morons that are running for president, there's nothing correct about anything political. And when you look at governments around the country and around the world, it's a freak show. So politically correct in itself is an oxymoron. But, you know, Trump echoed this fan who labeled Cruz a pussy over the position of waterboarding on the debates they had on Saturday night. And, of course, Trump vowed that when he was president, he would implement, quote, "a hell of a lot worse than waterboarding." A hell of a lot worse than waterboarding. He keeps bragging about that. And, of course, Cruz, you know, he said basically the same thing. You know, that he more moderate response, but he would not use enhanced interrogation. I love that word, tactics, enhanced interrogation. In, quote, "widespread use as commander-in-chief." You know, these are the guys, by the way, that keep promoting themselves as Christians. You know, I grew up, I went to Catholic school. I don't know what Christ these guys are talking about. But it was certainly not the one that they were telling us about in the catechism or a church or the gospels or the epistles. How can they get away with this? And their silence, as the United States has become this immoral nation of waging wars globally and feeling it has the right to torture anyone at any time. And by the way, the studies are showing that this, quote, enhanced interrogation techniques, I think Orwell made up that name, they don't work. You know, very infrequently. And again, one after another, keeping Guantanamo open. So anyway, the election, you know, it stunned me a bit that Hillary fell so far. But I guess, as I said, you know, the dislike for the Clintons runs deep. And particularly among younger people who really don't have a connection, as many did that supported him. And it's going to be, I would guess at this point, as things keep going, you know, it looks like President Trump in the White House, of course, which they'll rename it the Trump House. You know, put a big sign out in front, right? Yeah, man, a golf course. You know, right on the little putting green on the front lawn, and you know, turn a joint into a amusement park, a little gambling casino on the side. Yeah, and this guy, he always uses this language. I know better than anybody, and I'm the most brilliant guy. But anyway, it was it's the presidential reality show. Indeed, so sure were we that this was going to be a presidential reality show, that's the cover of the Spring 2015 Trends Journal. And that is before Trump got in there. And that's all it is. Can you imagine talking about torture and there's no blowback? And again, listening to debates, I mean, who gave the right to a couple of networks to run the whole show, ask the questions, and dominate the entire debate scenario? It's called fascism, the merger of state and corporate powers. On to some economic news, and there is a lot of it. You know, when you look at the beginning of the year, so now, you know, some 40 days later, this is one of the worst openings of a new year that the equity markets, currency markets, and commodities markets have ever witnessed. Ever. And the Dow the first 2 weeks, S&P, you know, it record-breaking lows for beginning of a new year. And it hasn't ended. And when you look at what commodity did go up during that time, because copper went down, iron ore went down, one after another, and the market numbers going down in the last month are phenomenal in different sectors, how much the categories and different companies declined. So what you're looking at is the only one that really went up some 13% is gold. Yeah, gold's down a little bit today and yesterday, but it's hovering, you know, near that 1,200 mark. And you may have heard me say this before, and of course, if you're a Trends Journal subscriber and you get our Trends Journal trend alerts and Trends in the News broadcasts and Trends Monthly, you know that I've been saying over and over and over again that gold has to stabilize above 1,200 for it to move higher. And after it moves over 1,200, the next breakout point is 1,400. From 1,400, we believe 2,000 is the next level. That's our forecast. And again, we're not giving financial advice. We're forecasters, trend forecasters. So we look ahead, and when you listen to the news, particularly in the stock market issues and financial news, it's always about today, very little about tomorrow. But when you, again, you look at the facts that are going on and how dire the situation is, it's not looking for a happy ending in 2016. One of the reasons why gold is so promising, all you have to do is take a look at the banking sector. I mean, that's a big one to look at. I mean, you know, money makes the world go round. Like it or not, that's the fact. And not only have the global stock indexes around the world plunged into bear territory, currencies are crashing, commodity prices are tumbling, and these resource-rich nations from, you know, Nigeria to Azerbaijan, Venezuela even. Venezuela's in terrible shape. They have, now they're estimating inflation at 720%. 720%. Well, anyway, they're going to the World Bank and the IMF and looking for bailouts. And of course, if you go back to September 30th, and you could to our Trends in the News broadcasts, we said that the new year would begin with the panic of 08. And it has. Panic is on. Country after country. Go to China. Their gross domestic product is down to 1990 lows. Now, this is despite them pumping in trillions and trillions of yuan to build fake cities and huge infrastructure projects. It's just a Ponzi scheme. It's a bubble. And most nations have done it. From China to Japan's Abenomics that didn't work, to European Central Bank with their quantitative easing program. I mean, they're pumping in now, what, over 60 $1 billion to buy out, you know, bonds and mortgage-backed securities and such. And it's been going on now for a year, and it's going to continue. Not helping the Eurozone. And then, of course, here in the United States, all the quantitative easing, zero interest rate policy has done nothing other than boost the equity markets as real income, median household incomes decline below 1999 levels. So when you look at China, now as its economy is going down, as I mentioned, to 1990s levels, they have the capital is flowing out of that country at the rate of over $1 billion on average for the last 2 months. $100 billion. $100 billion a month are flowing out. Well, then they say, well, China, you know, they could afford it. You know, they have some pretty strong reserves. And they have about, you know, $3.23 trillion left. Well, according to the IMF, China needs an estimated $2.75 trillion to manage its financial system. That's what they need in reserves. So that leaves them only with $500 billion to buffer against the volatility that's hitting them with the yuan being so bashed. Now, that's not a lot of money for the world's second largest economy at $11 trillion. $500 billion and $11 trillion. Now, it's, you know, you don't have to be good at math to figure that one out, man. That's chump change. So when you look at what's going on in China, the second largest economy in the world, and looking at the problems it's in, you take a look at the third largest economy, Japan. As I said, that Abenomics did nothing to boost the economy. It only boosted the equity markets and short term. Now, wow. The Nikkei index, phew, it's in bad territory, down over 20%. Now, very interesting what's happened. You go back not that long ago. You go back to January 29th. That's not ancient history. There, Bank of Japan's governor announced a negative interest rate policy. This after being in parliament just a week earlier and vowing that they were not going to go into negative interest rates. All right, so let's go back to that 29th. All of a sudden, the equity markets in the United States spike some 400 points on the news of negative interest rates. Yippee! More free money to keep the Ponzi scheme going. More free dough for the mergers and acquisitions and stock buybacks. Well, not working out like that. In less than 2 weeks, Japan Post Bank has tanked 20%. And the Topex Bank Index has lost 21%. This is on the word of negative interest rates. So then you got China number one, Japan number two. Let's take a trip to number three, Germany, or the fourth largest economy. Of course, the United States is the largest. Go back to Monday. Its top two banks, Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank, they plunged nearly 10% in one day, each one of them. Deutsche Bank this year, its value of the stock has already fallen 40%. These are banks I'm talking about. Again, follow the money. Money makes the world go round. And these are the money people, or the money junkies, or the banksters. Again, nothing's really changed since Jesus Christ, you know, picked up that whip and chased him out of the temple. So if anybody says, you know, Mr. Salenti, you know, you shouldn't be angry, I tell them, listen, if Jesus Christ can become violent and pick up a whip and hit these people for destroying so many lives, take it easy with a little bit of anger. You know? So then you go back to Monday. Let's go to number fourth largest economy in the world, the United Kingdom. Well, Standard Chartered Bank fell 6%, Barclays was off 5.3%, and HSBC down 4%. Remember, this is just in one day. And then you look since the start of the new year and you go around the world. The French giants, Societe Generale. Remember, from the beginning of the year, this is what I said. This first 40 days and 40 nights, man, I think we're going to see some ark building pretty soon. 40 days and 40 nights. Woof. Raining bad news. And the markets, boy, they're getting flooded. Yep. With red ink. Yep. So Societe Generale is down 30%. BNP Paribas down 20%. One of the main areas of very critical concern is what's going on in Italy among their banks. One after another, they're hitting lows. But you just stay with the two top ones, UniCredit and Intesa Sanpaolo. They've declined 43% and 28% respectively. Again, this is just 40 days and 40 nights. And then take a look over there to Spain. Banco Santander. That's fallen 15% since the dawn of 2016. Now, this is an interesting one, too, because they have a lot of loans in, yep, that auto biz. Yeah, they're backing a lot of those. You don't have any credit rating? Don't have a job? Don't worry about it. Come over here. I'll sell you a car. Just sign on the line. Yeah, it's just a replay of that that equity bubble that they built with stocks. With home mortgages, rather. You know, no income verification mortgages. Doing the same thing with autos. And Banco Santander is one of the biggies in that business. And then go back to all these other banks and look what's going on. You're looking at oil prices. They're down, what? Some 75% since June of 2014. Down 75%. We're looking at U.S. crude now. It's back to $27 a barrel. And Brent is flirting with 30 to 29. Then people say, well, these low oil prices are good, you know, it makes people have more cash to go buy things. No, it doesn't. It gives them more cash to spend to pay other bills. Because, again, you go back to income growth, there isn't any when adjusted for inflation. Again, median household incomes below 1999 levels. 51% of the people in America are earning $30,000 or less. So lower oil prices only helps them pay other bills. It does not increase consumer spending. You can't go out and buy a house because a gallon of oil got cheaper. When you put it in your, a gallon of gas rather got cheaper, or oil got cheaper when you have to heat your house, but you don't have a house because you're a millennial and you're living with your parents. So this whole thing about, oh, you know, oil prices going down, going to boost the economy, no, it's not happening. So, but look at the exposure to all of these banks that I've mentioned in the energy field. One after another. they're overextended. And the debt bubble is huge because it's not only in oil. They're loaning money in the mining sector. They're loaning money in commercial real estate. They're loaning money particularly in that high-end real estate market that's been the biggest boom since the panic of 08. Now, as oil prices decline, mineral prices decline, raw materials decline, as I mentioned, countries, raw material rich countries, resource rich, whose exports are way down, and what they're selling, the cost of what they're selling is way down, are going to the IMF and the World Bank for bailouts. So, how are these people going to repay the banks the money that they loan them? All right, I'll give you the answer. They can't. They won't. And it will only make matters much, much worse. This crisis is real. When you're looking at banks being so unstable, this is the key indicator. Oh, yeah, the NASDAQ is way down, those tech-heavy stocks. Yep, not a good time for the NASDAQ. But, you know, Google, maybe it's someday they'll be printing money, but they're not making anything. It's not like oil. Facebook doesn't make anything. They're not making things in a lot of these companies. Yes, some of the things like GoPro, they make things, but that's a small segment compared to what's really going on. So the loan exposure is phenomenal. And the volatility in the markets, again, 40 days and 40 nights of something we've never seen before. I mean, just today, for example, the Dow's up, what? It's up over 150 points. Boom. Now it's up only 34. Same thing yesterday. Down 150, up 150. Closes down 12. On Monday, down almost 400. Closes down almost 200. Spikes. Uncertainty. Going back to gold. Gold is going up because when you look at the chart, you can see the spike. It rose almost $70 since the announcement of quantitative easing coming out of following the Davos meeting with Mario Draghi in mid-January. Him promising more stimulus when they meet in March in the central bank. And then gold went up again following the negative interest rate policy instituted by Japan. Because the people like myself that follow gold know that all they're doing is devaluing their currencies. And the only reason the dollar is strong is because the other currencies are so weak. And now even the dollar is weakening. Can you imagine it's weakening against the yen, where they have negative interest rates, because now they're calling that a more stable currency and people are fleeing into it as a safe haven? The dollar is even losing ground again to the euro. So it's all in a state of flux, and it's all being rigged. That's the other thing. Anybody that doesn't think it is, well, then I guess you don't know that six banks in the United States were convicted of felonies for rigging the LIBOR rates, the interest rates, and the Forex markets, the currency markets. So, again, safe haven buyers have pushed gold up to an month peak. And again, it's outperforming just about every other commodity. And when I say the markets are rigged, they never stop. It's bankism. You can look at today's front page of the Financial Times. You ready for this? Europe joins probes of possible rigging of $1.5 trillion state-sponsored bond market. European regulators have opened a preliminary cartel investigation into possible manipulation of the $1.5 trillion government-sponsored bond market in the latest effort to root out rigging involving financial traders. The inquiry comes amid revelations that the U.S. Department of Justice and U.K.'s Financial Conduct Authority are also investigating the market. But you know where this will go. At best, it'll go nowhere. And the worst that will happen is that the criminal banksters will get a slap on the wrist fine and continue along their path of robbing the public of every penny that they can get out of them. And by the way, these negative interest rates, what they are, it's a war against savers as well as zero interest rate policy. You can't save money anymore. What do you do with it? You put it anywhere, you lose it if you don't invest it. And that's the other part of the scam to get people investing into it. As I said, that no heads roll, and I just read you an article from the Financial Times about other possible manipulations. Well, here's an interesting story also in today's Financial Times. U.S. Justice Department urge to act against senior bankers. All right, let's stop at the word senior bankers. That's Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan Chase, Lloyd Blankfein, and all these guys, Citigroup, Wells Fargo. Yeah, the people that pay a lot of dough to candidates, political candidates, in terms of campaign contributions, which adults call bribes and payoffs. So, Phil Angelides uncovered evidence of widespread fraud and corruption in the U.S. mortgage market as chairman of the commission that produced the government report on global financial crisis. 5 years on, he is asking the Justice Department why it has yet to call any senior bank executives to account. Since his report appeared in February 2011, America's biggest banks have paid tens of billions of dollars in fines, I love this word, for misconduct in packaging and sale of mortgage-backed securities. Misconduct. Misconduct, misspoke, there's miss. Misconduct. How about crimes? How about high crimes and misdemeanors? No, misconduct. See, that's the kind of language they use in a neo-feudal society. Were you and I to commit any crime, boy, that DA would be down our throat making an example of us for not living to the letter of the law. But when the big guys break it, it's only misconduct. I think misconduct is, maybe it's a hooker, right? Yeah, misconduct. But they get away with it. So anyway, going on. In the packaging and sale of mortgage-backed securities, while the Department of Justice has gone after thousands of borrowers, brokers, and appraisers for lying on mortgage applications. There you got it. The Justice Department has gone after the small people, brokers, appraisers for lying on mortgage applications. But no senior bank executive has been charged with, you ready for the word? Wrongdoing. wrongdoing. Now, be a good little boy and girl. Don't do anything wrong in class. Wrongdoing. How about ruining the lives of tens of millions of people who lost their homes, their dignity, and their lives? Now, it's only a wrongdoing. He goes on to say, I ask a simple question. How could the banks have engaged in such massive misconduct and wrongdoing without a single individual being involved? In a sense, it is the immaculate corruption, he told the Financial Times. It defies common sense, and the people of America know this. Yes, they do, and that's why Bernie Sanders keeps going after Wall Street. Because he knows the rap. People are fed up with this. Misconduct. Wrongdoing. And of course, that guy Eric Holder, now he's back at work for that big bank, law firm. He was attorney general, of course, when all this was going on and convicted no one. And they were essentially the banks too big to jail, to paraphrase what he had said. And now he's back to work for that white shoe boy law firm, that Wall Street firm that protects these guys. It's not a revolving door. It's one door. It's the corporate door. And it's only open to the corporate whores. Welcome, Eric Holder. And whores come in all, you know, both genders, you know. I'll be selective here. So when you look at what's going on, and the real problems that exist, you can see we the people are getting shafted big time, and the big cats do no time. All they do is keep that Ponzi scheme going. Again, they could cover it up, and they have, with all this fake money and fraud. But again, going back to why I believe in gold, you know, again, the numbers, they don't lie. Only the liars do, and there are plenty of them. Again, you look at, I mentioned what's going on with the European banks. When you look at America's largest economy, the world's largest economy, the KBW NASDAQ Bank Index, again, 40 days and 40 nights, down 20% since the beginning of the year. And you look at the big bank stock losers, Morgan Stanley, down in value, stocks down nearly 30%. 30%. Citigroup, Bank of America, down 27%. Remember, this is just since the start of the year. Goldman Sachs, down 17%. Wells Fargo and JP Morgan, both down 14%. So, this unprecedented bashing of bank stocks, to us, it's a clear signal of a great financial crisis that's global. Again, these are the top five countries that I've hit, plus all the rest at the top. France, Italy, Spain, up and down the list. So the reason these are going down again is because of a major financial crisis that is being caused by the overprinting of money that boosted fake economies around the world, particularly in emerging markets, China, and of course here in the States, but only in the equity sectors. You're looking at Brazil facing its worst recession in, you ready? Over 100 years. Its currency is declining rapidly. Inflation's moving higher. You go around the world, it's the same story, different picture. There's another thing going on with the banks. And this is very interesting to recognize. And that is that they need interest rates to go up because they can't make money in loaning money if interest rates are so low. It's less profitable for banks to lend, and that reduces their earning power. So add that downward pressure with these low and negative interest rates on top of all the money that they loaned out that they're not going to get paid back. And again, it's bigger than oil. And that's all the stock market keeps trying to do, is to convince us it's oil related. It's not. You're looking at the Baltic Dry Index, which measures shipping. It's down to 1985 levels when it began. You look at the capsized ships. These are the large ships. They need $8,000 a day to get paid to operate them. They're letting them go out to sea for $2,300 because that's better than no dough at all. And they need the money to pay these loans. That's where the banks are so exposed. The banking crisis is the one to keep the eye on. Again, you're looking at, you know, the tech stock sell-off. Yeah, it could get worse. And the NASDAQ index, internet index, by the way, it's fallen 21%. And that, in the world of the markets, is called bear territory. And again, the KBW NASDAQ Bank Index, that's down nearly 20%. Bear territory. It's a crash. It's serious. And it's being covered up with good news. And the good news keeps coming out that, well, the Fed will do more to stimulate the economy. They've run out of tools. It's been proven they're out of tools with these negative interest rates. That was the last card that they could play. They played it in Japan, and it fell flat. And yesterday, Fed Chair Yellen screamed out, "Hey, you banks, see if you could prepare yourself. We just want you to do the homework. We're not saying we're going to do it." Fed negative interest rate policy. And then we heard the Fed Vice Chair Stanley Fischer last week said, "You know, I've been watching these negative interest rates, and, well, kind of seem to be working," you know, to paraphrase him. Check this out. $7 trillion. $7 trillion in bonds worldwide, as we speak, are now giving out negative yields. That means, you know, I like you. You're a bunch of nice people out there. Loan me some money. Yeah, give me all your dough that you could loan out, and I'll pay it back in 10 years. But I'm going to pay you less than you loaned me. What would you say? I think Salenti's out of his mind. I think he's gone nuts. What thinking human being would do such a stupid thing like that? Go back to negative interest rates. Go back to the war on savers. People are desperate to put their money in a safe haven asset. So they're loaning money to lose. That's how distorted this whole situation has become. As I mentioned, the volatility in the market. When we began the show, the market was up. Began the day up almost 150 points. Now the Dow is down minus 5 points. The NASDAQ, by the way, it's trading at 4,312. 16 years ago, almost to the date, it was trading at 5,000. Now it's at 4,300. Yeah, keep your money in the markets. Just stay in there for the long haul. You look at these bank stocks, Citibank, you know, Citigroup, Bank of America. Yeah, hold on to them. When they started going down, look what you're left with. I can't say the word on the air. But anyway, I want to close off by taking a look also at what these elections mean and why so many people are behind Bernie Sanders. And, of course, one of the reasons I just noted was because of how he's going out, attacking Wall Street, and convincing people that don't know better that by taxing them more, it's going to enrich we the little people. I'm all in favor of taxing them. I'm all in favor of what Bernie says about bringing back the Glass-Steagall Act. On the other, but that's not going to solve the problems. Bernie talks nothing about job creation. And when he talks about foreign policy, it's like talking to an imbecile. He fudges the questions. You could look it up and listen and read them for yourself. So all of those Bernie supporters out there, just a little rundown of that, quote, socialist liberal guy. In 2001, you know, that Iran-Libya Sanctions Act, 1996, he supported that. And Bernie was a real big supporter of murderer Bill Clinton's 100-day bombing of Yugoslavia and Kosovo in 1999. Can anybody say war crimes? One after another, Bernie has voted for war. In 1993, Bernie voted yes on H.R. 2446, Military Construction Fiscal Year 1994 Appropriations Bill, which provided $3.6 billion for military construction. The same year, this is a, by the way, I got this off Truthdig, and this is a person that put down a lot of these facts and wrote a great article. 1994, the same year, he also voted for SJ Resolution 45, authorizing for the use of armed forces in Somalia, which authorized Bill Clinton to use U.S. troops in Somalia. The list just keeps going on. And, of course, he was he's a supporter of what's going on in Ukraine, that Americans have to support him. And you know he's a two-faced liberal. When Clinton was bombing Yugoslavia, while the people up there in Vermont were attacking the anti-war protesters, were against what he was doing. Sanders supported Bill Clinton. So you also look at the resolution that he co-sponsored that told Gaddafi that he should step down. Oh, could you imagine Bernie Sanders facing up to any man and telling them to step down? It's like Ted Cruz caught Marco Rubio or any of these other little boys with big mouths that talk tough. So Bernie, you know, Bernie's a dove in hawk's clothing, basically. And he's just playing the cards. He's one of these phony liberals, you know, that speaks the part but defends the system. So that's where we're at today, between a Trump and a Bernie. A Bernie and Trump in a hard place. Woof! Who would have believed it? The presidential reality show. You know, we believed it was going to be the presidential reality show. You know, we put our money where our mouth is. We took out the trademark, presidential reality show. And we've been writing about it in that context. And now, of course, with Donald Trump in there, you have a bona fide reality show champion. And it makes perfect sense because this is what America's become, a reality show. People love this stuff. And they keep voting for it. They tune it in and they go to the polls for it. Could you imagine? I'll do a hell of a lot worse than waterboarding. And people cheer. Don't blame the police for becoming militaristic. The fish rots from the head down. The Bushes, the Clintons, the Bushes, the Obamas, murderers, calling for more war as the answer for peace. And have you noticed? Not a peep about peace. Nothing, nada, zero. No one in the political system or the low-life little prostitutes, the ABCs, the CBSs, the NPRs, and the ABCs. Not a word from them. All they do is keep playing the war card. These low-life little creatures, prostitutes, sucking up and bowing down to their Washington masters and their corporate johns. Not a peep about peace. Nothing about morality. And the election's right around the corner. Again, We believed that Hillary, you know my campaign slogan for 2016, Trump or Clinton, Hitler or Hillary. How many people has she murdered? Gaddafi has to go, Assad has to go, voted for wars. That's the other thing. Bernie keeps talking about him not voting for the Iraq war. He voted to fund everything. Beginning with Afghanistan, he's a vocal supporter of this. One after another. Again, not a word about peace. And all anyone is doing is promoting war. Now, here's where we're going with this. I began this trends this week with an in-depth analysis of what's going on in the banking industry. The whys and the hows, it's declining. It's a global recession. The reason prices are going down, it's not deflation, it's depression. Prices deflate during a depressionary time, from iron ore to coal to copper to zinc. And again, gold is the only one going up because of economic and geopolitical uncertainty. When all else fails, they take you to war. I mentioned about China trying to prop up its devaluing yuan. You're going to hear in the States that they're devaluing it so they could export more product. That's not true. It's only true in some senses. You lower the price as much as you want. If people don't have 25 cents during the Depression to buy a dozen eggs, you could bring them down to 15 cents. They still won't buy them. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a global recession turning into a depression, and when all else fails, they take you to war. And the war is going to be the last great war. It's what Albert Einstein said when they asked him, what weapons will be used to fight the Third World War. He said, I don't know, but they'll be using sticks and stones to fight the Fourth. And from Bernie to Trump, from Clinton to Rubio to Carson, all the rest, all it is war talk and no talk. And interesting, too, what's happened with Jeb Bush. Whew. Boy, that cat boy, he really vanished, huh? I guess that's the end of the Bush dynasty. But here's a lesson for everyone. Trump knows his business. He's ruthless, arrogant, egotistic, and he'll do whatever he has to do to win. He knows what to do. The first debate back in August, I believe it was August. I know it was the first debate. I believe it was August. He went up to Jeb Bush and he put his hand on his shoulder. He said, you're a nice guy, Jeb, but, you know, you really don't have that fight in you. And he was right. Because no man would tolerate that. Cat puts his arm on my shoulder, it's going to be off really quick. Don't you touch me. Who gave you the right to touch me? So he went after the top guy. And he knocked him out of the box. He's a reality show champion. Who was the next guy up there? Carson. Boom. Knocked him out. Who was the guy after that? Cruz. Foop. Hit him with that Canadian thing, remember? You're not a citizen. Trump knows what he's doing. He's ruthless. He'll do anything to win. So what America really needs to bring back is morality. But morality is not mentioned in the presidential reality show. Everyone just wants to be the contestant that stays on the island and gets to occupy the White House. Or, who knows, pretty soon it could be the Trump House, the way things are going. So this is Gerald Celente. This is some of trends this week. And it was a week that was banking, the elections, war in Afghanistan heating up. Things don't look good. So vote for morality, peace, and prosperity. The White House. Well, who knows? Pretty soon, it could be the Trump House. The way things are going. So this is Gerald Celente. This is some of trends this week. And it was a week that was banking, elections, war in Afghanistan heating up. Things don't look good. So, vote for morality, peace, and prosperity.